Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
He's been washed by the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. He believes in the Holy Ghost, and he suggests that you do the same. He's been set free on his knees at an altar call. Pardon me if I'm not ashamed, because he's a one God apostolic tongue talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberated power in Jesus' name. Trey, you can pay me later for that one. All right? Guys, let me tell you something. I love to surround myself. I just met with him 30 minutes before. He had a lot going on this weekend. I had things going on this weekend. But just meeting with him for 30 minutes, I already feel sharper. You better get on the end of your seat, because I've sat under his teaching many times before. He's like many we've had in this house. The Word of God spills out of him because it's on the inside of him and he lives by it. So I want you to help me this morning. Give him a warm AOL welcome. Trey Johnson, man of God, here with us.
Love you. Appreciate you. Bless you, bless you. Good morning. Thank you. You can be seated. Wow, it is fun to have church. I'm telling you, it is so refreshing. The worship team, can we give them a hand clap for the anointing of God in them and on them? I know you probably have thought I come for you, but I've already had church. That is just so refreshing. You know, doing what I do, I'm in different churches, different denominations, and it is not always like that. Oh, that is so refreshing, so refreshing. Please do not take for granted what you have going here. Please do not take for granted the presence of God, the worship, the leadership that you have. Would you give your pastors a hand clap? Wow. You know, I've been in the ministry 20 plus years now, and I've started several different churches, and so I'm always looking at why God shows up at a church, and how come another place is just a building with a group of people? What are some key ingredients for the blind eyes to open, for the deaf to hear, for the lame to walk, the mute to talk? Do I need to do something different? Is my hair getting on the microphone, or are we good? I'll just keep talking. I'll let you do you, okay? And there's some key ingredients that I've noticed over the years. Of course, worship is a huge part of the presence of God. How you honor the man and woman of God is a huge part of the presence of God. The heart of givers in a church is a huge part of the presence of God. Where there is order in the house of God, there is power. Where there's divine order, there's divine power. So you should be honored that the presence of God is here. You should be honored that you have order in this house. You should be honored that God shows up in this place. You know, I'm here to teach the word, but a lot of times people ask, well, why don't you tell us what's going on and all that type stuff? So I'm just going to do that a few minutes, because I want to get into the word, because I know it's the word that changes our life. But we do thank. I know some of you are partners of our ministry, and we just thank you for believing God with us and believing God for us and locking shields with us as we reach the world with the gospel. And everything that we do, you know, my areas of influence and strength are ministry, leadership, and roping, and I want to do everything I can to expand the kingdom of God. You know, right now, the TV ministry and stuff, we're reaching about 500 million people a week. And it's just phenomenal. Yes, give God praise for that. And you can watch it on Dish, you can watch it on Direct. We might have some stuff back at the product table that shows where all that's on, the different ones up here. Our leadership stuff, I'm flying from here. I'm leaving as soon as I'm done with church and catch a plane at 2 o'clock to fly to Florida, where I'll be meeting with leaders of countries and corporations and stuff for the next 3 days. this coming together of how we can raise up leaders for such a time as this and what we can do to add value to our communities and to our country. And so, you know, a few months ago, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, they contacted me, and they just said, "Trey, we've been watching you for years. We don't really know what to do in the rodeo world, but we see that you have things in place with your leadership development and stuff. Would you take over the junior high and high school leadership development for the FCA, and would you just start?" And I was like, "Man, yeah, that's a no-brainer." I said, "Now, wait a sec." I said, "Because you know what I believe. You know how I operate." They says, "We know, and we trust you, and we want you to know our hands are off. We'll do whatever we can to support you." Because they're ran by a denominational group of people and everything, but I just think it is so cool how denominational walls are coming down. That people are realizing that it isn't about Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. It is about the family of God. And it's about us walking in the power of God and knowing who God is and His will being done on earth just like it is in heaven. And so, you know, we are going to continue. We, you know, I do roping schools all over the country. Well, we had one here last 2 days. I don't know if Ollie and them are here. Ollie and them are back there. Ollie and Shanna and Jared, they did a great job. We had several salvations over there and got to baptize one. And, you know, and after Florida, I'll fly to Colorado to speak. And then I'll go to North Carolina and do a roping school for 2 days. And we've had hundreds of salvations through the roping schools this year. And it's just awesome how God is just, man, he is showing up. When we will cooperate with Him, His will is done on earth just like it is in heaven. Enough about that. I want to encourage you to go to our website and please believe God with us. You know, we send out daily devotionals, emails. And go to the YouTube channel, podcast, all the different things. We try to use every available voice to add value and expand the kingdom of God. But are you ready to get into the Word of God? Let's pray. Father, I love you so much, and I'm honored to be a part of what you're doing. And we surrender ourselves to you. And we open up our ears, we open up our heart, we open up our mind. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to move as you desire. That whatever is needed, whatever office to operate in, whatever gifts of the Spirit needed today, that you are welcome to have your way in this place. And we make a decision before we hear your word. We are doers of the word and not hearers only. That we are going to do what we learned this morning. We are going to put it into action. We are going to move forward for the glory of God. We are going to stand in our place in Christ Jesus. And we are going to think like champions, believe like champions, live like champions, because that is who we are created to be, all for the glory of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, this morning, and so it's so funny how you know, we're talking, but we're having this internal dialogue of listening to what direction the Lord wants us to go while we're ministering. But this morning, and I want you to just picture what the Lord is saying, and then this isn't my message right now, but I feel like I'm supposed to share it here. But I woke up this morning, and I saw, and I didn't know you were dedicating babies and stuff today, but that scripture in Psalms 127:4, that like arrows in the hand of a warrior, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are released and they are directed which way they should go. But when I woke up this morning in my spirit, man, I saw the warrior, God Almighty, with his hands back like this, and he says, "Let them know that I'm releasing my warriors." And it's not parents releasing their kids, it is the parents releasing his kids. And when he released the arrow, I saw gold, and gold represents the anointing of God. And I want you to think about what warriors, they didn't have the machines that we have today where the arrows are perfectly straight, but they had the warriors, they would spend time developing the arrows, and they would knock the bark off of the arrow, and the wood might be a little bit crooked, kind of like you and I. But the warrior knew the target that it was going to shoot at. And the warrior knew that I don't care if it's crooked. I don't care if it still has a little bark on it. I don't care if it's a little longer than it should be, a little shorter than it should be. I'm the one in control, and I've trained for years. And when I pull this bow back and I release it, it's going to go exactly where I tell it to go. And the warrior has pulled back his bow, and he is releasing you. This is the word. The Lord is saying, you're closer than you think. You're closer to what you're created to do. You're closer to who you're created to be. You're closer to the destination than you think. And the anointing of God is ramping up in the body of Christ. Signs, wonders, and miracles take place. It is a normal thing in the house of God. And we should be believing that. We should be declaring it. We should be expecting it. For example, there's an individual here that it's a distraction to you. You come in this morning, you're sitting here and you're trying to listen, or maybe you're watching online, and your lungs have been so messed up on the inside that it is a distraction to you. Who is that? Would you just raise your hand? That it is lungs. I just keep hearing out of place lungs, fluttered up lungs, fluid-filled lungs. Let's agree with me right now. Father, I speak to those lungs. Whoever that is, wherever they are, and I command those lungs to come into alignment right now in the name of Jesus. I command the fluid that is illegally there to dissipate in Jesus' name. And the way that those lungs are created to function, you function now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So I want you to see that image. And I want you to see him releasing you into your calling, into your destiny, into the area that you are called and created to be. Amen? Now, a few months ago, I woke up again. And the Lord just, I woke up out of the sleep, and the Lord said, the spirit of oppression, and I want you to take notes, the spirit of oppression has been attacking my family, and it's time for it to stop. The spirit of oppression has been attacking my family, and it is time for it to stop. Now listen to the definition of oppression. Oppression means extortion, to obtain from a person by force, intimidation, or undue illegal power, cruelly to exercise dominion against. Listen to extortion. I want you to think of the state of our country. Oppression, to obtain from a person by force or intimidation or undue illegal power. Extortion, illegal use of one's official position or power to obtain. Illegal use. And God is saying the spirit of oppression has attacked my family for long enough, and it is time for it to stop. Oppression, an exterior force coming against you. It means to press upon, overburden, smother, or subdue. Synonyms are abuse, conquer, control, dominate with an iron hand, trying to rule spiritually. Trying. Webster's Dictionary, unjust or cruel, exercise of authority or power, a sense of being weighed down in body or mind. The spirit of oppression has been coming against my family, and it is time for it to stop. Now, as I'm asking the Lord about this, this just came up in my heart, and I just want to read to you what the Spirit of God said to me. He says there, and I want you to think about the undue illegal authority. I want you to think about the definitions of oppression, an exterior force trying to hold down, press down, shut down, mask up, shut up. There are certain people that are in leadership positions in this country that are being influenced by this spirit. What is on the head tries to get on the body. They are operating illegally. Remember, undue illegal power. And this spirit operates illegally. It operates legally because it has found people who will cooperate with it. But it is illegally operating in the body of Christ because our head is greater. The church is waiting on others to stop what's going on, but we must stop it first individually, shut it down locally, statewide, and then our nation. The church is more powerful than we've been acting like. I'm going to read it again. There are certain people that are in leadership positions of this country that are being influenced by the Spirit. What is on the head tries to get on the body. They are operating illegally, undue illegal power, and this Spirit operates illegally. Say illegally. It's operating legally because it's found people who will cooperate with it, but it's illegally operating in the body of Christ because our head is greater. In other words, it does not have the right to dominate the body of Christ. Do we see what's happening here? That because of the head of the country has cooperated with this Spirit, it has a right to rule and reign upon the earth, but it illegally operates in the life of a believer. Notice I said believer. I didn't say churchgoer. I didn't say Bible toter. I didn't say bumper sticker haver. I didn't say jewelry wearer. I said believer. You believe in the blood. You believe in the name. You believe in the word. You are a doer of God's word. It's illegally operating, but our head is greater. Say it, our head is greater. I just want to read a few scriptures on the head. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church. Who's our head? Colossians 1:18, he is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He is also the head of the body, the who? The church. Colossians 2:10, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. He is the head of all rule and authority. He is the head. He is the head. And what is on the head has a right to get on the body. What is on our head, Jesus, has a right to get on us, the body. What is on the head has a right to get on us, the body. But we've got to give it right to get on us, the body. You hear this saying, God is in control. God is not in control. Well, you should hear it get quiet. God is only in control to the individual who gives him control. God is not in control of the car wreck. God is not in control of Afghanistan. He had nothing to do with influencing that. God is not in control of putting somebody in the White House as a baby killer. God is not in control of stealing, killing, and destroying. Notice he says that he stands at the door and he knocks. And he doesn't say, I'm going to huff and puff and I'm going to blow the door down, and whether you like it or not, I'm coming in. He's not the big bad wolf. He says, no, you open the door and I'll come in. God is in control to the ones who give him control. God is in control to the ones who align with him. God is in control to the ones who agree with him. God is in control when we surrender ourselves to him. He's in control when we give him control. Listen to this, Psalms 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So notice what he says. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to be separated and to stay in their house and not be together. Just making sure you're paying attention. He says, for it is good and pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. He said the blessing is commanded when they dwell together in unity. When they dwell together, the tactic of the enemy is to get us isolated and separated when it's God's plan for us to come together and be unified and powerful. John chapter 17, verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Why is it important for us to dwell together in unity? Why is it important for us to not forget assembling ourselves together? Listen, you are going to receive something in the house of God that you will never receive by yourself. So this mess that you and God got your own thing going, no, you don't have your own thing going. me and God, I get just as much out by myself as I do in the house of God. I'll just go ahead and let you know, if you're visiting or you're watching online, you're in the wrong house. Because God has designed this house. For those of you who are called here, you need to get here. Those that are called somewhere else, you get somewhere else. Because when you come into the house of God, the Spirit of God, I notice they have the lockbox on the thermostat back there, because you can't please everybody in a church. You know, somebody, it's too hot, it's too cold, lock it down. But you know who is in control of the atmosphere of this greenhouse? The house of God, the Spirit of God. And you know what He has it set on? He has it set on grow. There's a right amount of moisture. There's a right amount of nutrients. There's a right amount of ingredients. And it's set on grow. And if we will come into the house of God and we will get planted. Planted. Notice He didn't say potted. Because a lot of times we come in our little pots. And our pots look like, okay, this is what Aunt Boo Boo and Uncle Ding Dong taught me. And this is the way I think, and this is the way I believe, and this is the religion I grew up in. And I'm going to stay in my pot. And Pastor, as long as you tell me something that I like, I'll stay in my pot, and my leaves will, they'll perk up, and they'll grow. And the Holy Spirit is standing at the door, handing every one of us a hammer every Sunday, saying, I'm going to say something that's going to make you smash your pot. He didn't say, those who are potted in the house of God, that I'm just going to get here and I'm going to be comfortable and I'm going to think the way I think and you just love me the way that I am. God loves you the way that you are, but He will never keep you where you are. And He will never let us stay in our pot and just say, I noticed a Colorado comment a while ago. I go to Colorado every couple of weeks and everything. The whole pot deal, smoke the pot, get off the pot, be redeemed from the pot, break the pot. Break the pot. Those who are planted in the house of God shall flourish. Flourish. Planted. We're not in a time to be religious. We're not in a time to play church. It is time for every single thing that God has placed on the inside of us to come alive. Every gift, every calling, every dream, every vision. To come alive, the Spirit of God is standing in front of each and every one of us, and He is just doing this, saying, will you let the real you come alive? Will you let that real gifting come alive? Will you let what I put inside of you, will you shut the voice of fear down and get out of the boat and come and be who you're called and created to be? And God is saying, the spirit of oppression has tried to shut my family down, and it's time for it to stop. Time for it to stop. And Christians have been waiting for somebody else to stop it. He says, but we've got to stop it individually, locally, statewide, then nationwide. Individually, individually, locally, statewide, and then our nation. And we've been waiting for it to stop at the start at the nation. And God is saying it starts with us. Because we can't give something we don't have. What is on the head has a right to be on the body. It is our responsibility to come against this spirit of oppression. Listen to this. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, is that you? The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Say, he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Some of you have heard about the name of Jesus. You've been taught about the name of Jesus, but you've laid it down, and I want to encourage you to stir yourself back up and begin to use the name that is above every name. I want you to speak to those kidneys that are trying to shut down, and you tell them to rise up in the name of Jesus. The blood pressure that is going haywire up and down, you speak to it and tell it to stabilize in the name of Jesus. It is the name that is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every devil, every sickness, corona is not more powerful than the name of Jesus. Open up your mouth and begin to declare. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. See, when we read the word, we've got to ask, is this me? The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask, or in the Greek, it's ask, require, demand. Whatever you demand that I will do, the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also will send you." See what he's saying? He says, what I do, you do. Just like the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And that goes with the vision of the warrior rising up, pulling back the bow and releasing the arrow into your sphere of influence. And the anointing of God is in you and on you. Jesus is saying the same anointing that is in me is the same anointing that is in you. The same anointing that is on me is the same anointing that is on you. The same way I dealt with the spirit of oppression, I want you to deal with it the same way. How did Jesus deal with the spirit of oppression? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus just told us, you do what I do. The way the Father sent me, I'm sending you. What did he do? How was he sent? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Anointed means God's hand was upon him. Anointed means it was smeared from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. The anointing means all of God was getting in and on all of him and all of us. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. All. Say all. This word oppressed here, I'll try to pronounce it, katadunasteo. That is probably not even close, but I try. Listen to what that word means. It paints the picture. Meaning to come to powerfully dominate and manipulate. It portrays the picture of a wicked king or tyrant who imposes his will on his subjects. This tyrant will tell people where they will live, what they will eat, how much money they will make. Does that not paint a picture of where the country is trying to take us? And it said how Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil. All who were oppressed of the devil. All who were oppressed of the devil. Look at Luke 10, verses 17 through 19. Luke 10, 17 through 19. Luke 9, you had the 12 come together. Jesus gave them his name, and he told them to go out and heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. Luke chapter 10, he gathered the 70 together. He gave them authority and dominion and power in his name, told them the same to do the same thing. And here we pick this up, Luke 10, 17 through 19. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I want to read it again. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." This word "subject" is a military term word, and it means that Jesus, when we use your name, the demons fell in line, just like they heard the voice of a commanding officer. And he goes on to say, now after they said this, I want you to picture, here these 70 come back, and they're full of joy because all this happened, and they're reporting to Jesus, and Jesus stops. And he says, "I saw Satan fall." In other words, he was saying, "I was there." Now, I want you to picture this, because the word "behold" right after this is a theatrical word. And it means like somebody who goes to a theater and they're watching this big production, and he's saying, "I saw the first act, I saw the second act, I saw the third act, and what I'm seeing right now is the encore." He said, "I was there when Satan tried to resurrect himself against the Most High, and I saw it not work out for him. I saw him try to resurrect his word against the word of the Most High, and it did not work out for him. I saw, I felt, I heard the power of the word that cast him out of heaven right to the earth. I saw Satan fall," he says. Now notice what he says. Then he says, "Behold." In other words, I saw the first act, second act,
third act. He says, but what I'm seeing right now, it is phenomenal. I, the same power, the same one who was in on kicking him out of heaven to earth, I give you the same authority. He said, I give you the authority, not a authority, the authority, the same authority. I give you the authority. I give you the authority. I give you the authority. He's not only given us the power, he's given us the authority. He's not already only given us the authority, he's given us the power. We have power and authority. He says, I give you the authority. The authority. I want you to picture that. The authority, the same authority that kicked him out of heaven. The same authority is in you and on you right now. The same authority, the spirit of oppression. He's saying the spirit of oppression is trying to stop my family, and it's time for it to stop. First individually, locally, statewide, and then our nation. Say it stops today. He says the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Now, when you look at these words, over all the power of the enemy, he was saying, okay, this enemy looks like it's advancing. Picture this. Picture where we're at. It looks like this enemy is advancing. He says, but don't you concern yourself, because the power you have is much greater, over and above. It's superior to the power that looks like it's advancing. In other words, he's saying, don't you quit. Don't you quit. The spirit of oppression has been trying to stop my people for long enough, and it's time for it to stop. First individually, locally, statewide, and then nationwide. Say it stops today. Now listen and think about the motive behind oppression. To shut you down. To overburden. To weigh you down. The progression of oppression is to get you so oppressed, so heavy, such a force against your thinking, your believing, that it gets you depressed, and then it gets you to regress. Regression means that a person is going, they once were lost, and then they were found, and then they were set free, but because the spirit of oppression, there's so much heaviness, they get depressed, and now they go back to where they came from. Say that's not me. The purpose of oppression is to stop you from being who God has created you to be. The purpose of oppression is to stop your family from operating at the level God has created us to operate at. The purpose of oppression is to stop you physically, financially, relationally, in every realm of life. But God is saying, it's time for it to stop. And whose responsibility is it to stop it? It's ours. Say it's mine. It's ours. Now notice this spirit, it is a spirit and it's a weapon. Say it, it's a spirit and it's a weapon. Isaiah 54 verses 14. It says in the Amplified, the classic, you shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness and conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Say it, no fear here. It says, you shall establish yourself in righteousness. How well are you established in your righteousness? Do you realize that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Do you realize what righteousness is? It's the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation. Righteousness is that you are made right. And Amplified, it says you are made what you ought to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, he who knew no sin was made sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Amplified, it says that you are made what you ought to be. You know what you ought to be? You ought to be free. You ought to be the healed. You ought to be blessed. You ought to be victorious. You ought to be the head and not the tail. You ought to be full of life and joy and peace. When all hell is breaking loose around us, we should be in such a place that's so established in our right standing with God that we realize God is for me, so who can be against me? Nobody. Nobody. Says when we are established in our righteousness, our right standing, who we are in Christ Jesus, it says we'll be even far from even the thought of oppression. And fear will have no place in our life. Say it, no fear here. No fear. Verse 17, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. Or the vindication which they obtain from me, this is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. He says, because of our right standing with God and our relationship with God, that the victorious God that He is, He's going to reproduce that same victory in you and I. He said, it's our heritage to triumph over opposition. I just want to say this right here, that I want to encourage you. You have what it takes to live a life of victory in the middle of all the hell that's going on. None of this surprises God. He knew that you would be wired the way you're wired and designed the way you're designed. He knew that you would know the Word and have a hunger for the Word and be in this house where you're taught the uncompromised Word of God. He knew that you have what it takes to live a life of victory. He knows that you have what it takes to put your foot down and say, ah, devil, you will not steal, kill, and destroy from me and my house. As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have what it takes to lift up your hands and worship. You have what it takes to open your mouth and declare the name that is above every name. You have what it takes to put on your armor each and every day and to walk with your shoulders back and your head held high. You have what it takes to understand you are in right standing with God, and God is not out here somewhere, but the greater one lives on the inside of you, and He's working in you and through you to change the world around you. You have what it takes. You have what it takes to reach your dream. You have what it takes to be who you're created to be. You have what it takes. You're still breathing. God's not done. You're still breathing. God's grace is still sufficient. You're still breathing. His blood is still powerful. You're still breathing. His name is still exalted above every name. You have what it takes. And I'm telling you, there's a pull by the grace of God on the body of Christ right now. There is a pull by the grace that's wanting to lead you into that place, to lead you to become who you're called and created to be. I mean, let's just think for a moment. Think for a moment. Look at your neighbor and say, you're smarter than a bird. Look at him. Just say, you're smarter than a bird. And you think, I want you to picture this. Now, come back to me. Come back to me, because some of you enjoyed that way too much. Come back to me. And I want us to think how bird... It's just in them. When it gets wintertime, they just start flying south. It's raining, they're still flying south. Hail, tornadoes, they just reroute, but they're still flying south. They might stop by the pond, get them a worm. They're still flying south. Why? Because they're listening to what they were created to be. And we're smarter than a bird. But so many times we might start off listening, and I just feel led to do this and to do that. And I've had this desire to go here and to go there, but it's raining. There's a storm. There's this. Aunt Boo Boo said no. Uncle Ding Dong said no way. And so we flutter down at the pond, and we sit around and we ask all of our buddies and all the people around us who think like we think and act like we lack, and they're getting no results in their life, and they're watching all the CNN constant negative news and everything else. What do you think I should do? I don't know. I wouldn't do that. Where's the money coming from? How are you going to do? I don't know. What do you think I'm going to do? And we sit here at our little pond, and we stay in our comfort zone, and the whole time the real us is saying, would you fly? The real us is saying, would you be who you're created to be? The real us is saying, would you get up? Yes. See, we're smarter than a bird. Amen. So it's time to go back to listening to the real you. It's time to go back to listening to that grace on the inside of you that's trying to lead you to that place in the body of Christ. Because when my elbow is an elbow, it's a receiving blood and it's giving blood. And when my hands are where they need to be, think about if my fingers were on my feet. I just want to be toes. I mean, they get toeology T-shirts. They go to school and they take toology classes. And oh, I just want to be a toe. They will never be toes. Never. They're not designed to be toes. They can't handle the weight of toes. They would break. They would fracture. Why? But how many times do we want to be somebody else? I just want to, and we have our toeology shirts. Or your buttology shirt. Some of you, that's the part you are in the body. And yes, you've gone to school to become better at that. I'm just kidding. What is the grace is calling the fingers to be fingers and the toes to be toes and the ears to be ears and the hearts to be hearts and the lungs to be lungs and the arms to be arms. And the more that we are in our place, the more we operate in the grace. And in Acts, it says, and great grace was upon them all, and signs and wonders and miracles followed. Why? Because they believed, and they were where they were supposed to be, and the fingers were fingers, and toes were toes, and great grace. So you might be operating in a little grace right now, but what would it look like if you got to your spot, and you become who you're created to be, and now great grace. It's the word mega in the Greek. Mega, mega grace. Great grace was upon you. God's supernatural ability. Think if we operated in just 10% more grace, 20% more grace, 50% more grace than what we're doing right now. Ha! Ha ha! One more gone, we'd have a song. 1,000 more gone from hell, whatever that song. That's a great song, by the way. Great grace was upon them all. And it's time for us to step into that place of great grace. The spirit of oppression has been attacking my family, and it's time for it to stop. First individually, then locally, then statewide, then nationwide. Listen, I just want to paint a picture of what this looks like, and then we're going to see how to be free, get free, stay free. The spirit of oppression. The motive of the spirit of oppression, remember, is to get into a place of depression and then regression, because if the devil can't stop people from coming into the family of God, he's going to do everything he can to stop you from walking in your rightful inheritance as a child of God. And so the spirit of oppression can look like where your finances are hindered for years upon years. Now, listen, you're doing everything you know to do in the natural, but your finances, it's like you cannot get ahead. I'm not talking for a month. I'm not talking for a season. I'm not talking for 1 year. I'm talking it has been a long time, and you are a tither, and you are a giver, and you are doing what you need to do in the natural, but your financial situation has been the same for decades, and it's passed down from generation to generation. It is the spirit of oppression trying to shut you down and hold you back. The spirit of oppression stops people from coming to the Lord. You can sense it as you travel in different parts of cities and communities. When I fly into different places, you can sense the strongholds of the drug addiction. You can sense the I was in Australia a couple years ago, and I was preaching at this Aborigine village over there, and it was just phenomenal because, you know, the tribal guy there, he said, you know, we only have, they have a short attention span, and it's true. I mean, they were kids that were just glazed over. They had no sense of value, no sense of worth. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, what do we do to get their attention? And we had brought them a bunch of candy and stuff, you know, to kind of get their attention. They call them lollies over there. We was going to give them lollies, you know, and so there's a pen of bulls over here. And there's a pen of bulls over here, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, all right, angels, you do your job. You protect me, you know, because they're not paying attention. And I jump in that bullpen, and I just run across this pen of bulls over there. And sure enough, well, they come up to the pen, and they're watching, thinking, boy, this guy's crazy right here, you know. And their eyes are up like this, and I run through it again. And it's just like the Lord says, okay, now. And within 7 minutes, I led 14 of them to Jesus. It was awesome. It was so awesome. And that tribal leader's sitting there, and he's looking at me. He's like, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And I'm thinking, good job, angels. You know, high five in the spiritual realm. But then he's taking me around, and he's showing me all these houses they're building for the tribe, for the Aborigines and everything. And they're small houses, but there's 12, 15 people in these houses, little 12-year-old girls walking around with pregnant babies already. So sad. And I look at him, I said, that's great that you're building all these things for these people. I says, but what are you doing to teach them how to think? And he shut me down, and he got so mad. He says, the government has them right where they want them, and that's where they're staying. The spirit of oppression will try to shut us up and to tell us where we will go, how we will live, how much money we will make, and how much food we will have. It ain't happening. It stops individually, locally, statewide, nationwide. The spirit of oppression, maybe you have a business that you know it should be more prosperous and flourishing and accomplishing more than it is, but it hasn't been. It's just like you've hit a wall and you've been stuck for years, the spirit of oppression. Maybe you've been believing for healing or gifts of the spirit or receiving your prayer language or whatever for years, whatever that is. It could be the spirit of oppression. I go into churches and there's times the spirit of oppression is so heavy in those churches because the spirit of religion, spirit of doubt, fear, unbelief has a right to rule and reign in that place, and the spirit of oppression keeps them capped off where they cannot be who they're called and created to be. The spirit of oppression. Maybe you have family issue after family issue. You get one issue dealt with, but then another one pops up, and then another one pops up, and then another one pops up, and another one pops up, and your family lives in a continual state of frustration and torment and hell on earth. The spirit of oppression. So the spirit of oppression, trying to shut down, trying to hinder, trying to hold back. The spirit, I could keep going on and on. When it comes to dreams, some of you have had dreams just like David, just like Joshua, just like Joseph. The spirit of oppression will try to shut you down. It'll try to shut down the voice of your dream. It'll try to suffocate it. It'll try to get you to look at what you don't have instead of who you do have. How hard it is. The economy is not right. How many times do we get stuck looking, waiting for everything to be perfect? Things will never be perfect in a fallen world. We're going to wait till we have this much money, and then we'll get married. We're going to wait till we have this much money, then we'll start the business. We're going to wait till we do this, and then we will go. Listen, you will never be or do what God has called you to, created you to do and be if you're waiting on out here to line up. You listen in here. Don't be moved by what you see out here. Be moved by what you see in here. We are designed to move in the direction that we see in here. But the spirit of oppression wants you to see the circumstance instead of seeing that you are a child of the Most High God. It wants you to look at what you don't have instead of who you do have. It stops today. It wants your marriage to be frustrated. It wants your family to be frustrated. Your finances to be frustrated. Your physical body to be out of whack. And the church to not be who we're called and created to be. The spirit of oppression has tried to stop my family, and it's time for it to stop. First individually, locally, statewide, then nationwide. So how do we get free? I don't even know what time. Oh, we're doing great on time. Okay, you can stay with me, right? It's been too long since I've been here, so you just got to stick with me here. To get free and stay free, and I'm not going to take much time because we're going to pray and God's going to do great things. But first and foremost, we have to realize that He wants me free. He wants me free. Because too often, we sit in church and we think, well, that's cool that God shows up for pastor. You know, God answers their prayer, and God does this for them, and promotion for them, and their family does good, and they overcome, and me? No. It's time for us to realize that we're children of the Most High God, and it's time for us to realize that if anybody's going to get their prayers answered, it's going to be me. If anybody's going to walk in the power of God, it's going to be me. If anybody's going to fulfill the dream that God has placed in their heart, it's going to be me. If anybody develops every gift and talent and calling, it's going to be me. I don't care what the bank account says. I don't care what friends and family say. If anybody's going to know the heart of God, it is going to be me. If any church in Amarillo is going to create an environment for the sick to walk in here and receive instant healing, it's going to be this house. You've got to get to that place that if anybody is going to know God, it's going to be me. I remember 20 plus years ago sitting there of thinking, okay, if God did that for David, and God did that for Moses, and God did that for Joshua, and God did that for Abraham, then why not me? God is no respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith. Are you going to make some mistakes on the way? You better believe you're going to make some mistakes on the way. But thank God for the blood, and you get right back in the game, and you keep stepping. You keep moving. You keep praising. You keep praying. You keep giving. You keep releasing. You keep going. You got to realize he wants me free. He wants my family free. He wants my finances free. He wants my body free. Say it, he wants me free. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Say, he wants me free. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, say all, that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Say it, he wants me free. Oppressed of the devil. The word devil comes from two different Greek words, dia and balo. And it paints the picture of somebody who picks up a rock. It's one thing, I'm a very positive person. One thing positive about the devil is he is very consistent. But it paints the picture of somebody who picks up a rock, and this is what the devil does. He picks up a lying thought. He picks up a doubt, a fear, an unbelief. And it paints the picture of somebody who throws a rock towards the target. What's the target? The target is our mind. Because whoever gets the mind gets the life. And so he brings this thought, and he doesn't do it just once, but he does it over and over and over again, telling you that you are unworthy, telling you that you are not valuable, telling you that you are unloved, telling you that you can never do or be or have what God has promised us to have. And he doesn't want this over and over and over, and he will continue to do it over and over and over until you rise up and you say, uh-uh. And you begin to pull those thoughts down and you make them come into the obedience of the Word of God. Diabolo, somebody who persistently, and what's he going after? He's going after your thinking. He's going after your emotions. Your emotions. See, your emotions are ignited by what you believe. Emotions, two words, energy in motion. Emotion. When you begin to think correctly, you're going to believe correctly. And when you're believing correctly, you're going to be driven by the inward belief that comes from the Word of God. The Word of God is a carrier of the DNA of God, the courage of God, the life of God, the victory of God, the power of God, the energy of God. And the devil wants to do everything he can to get you to listen to his words, to believe his words. Because when you believe his words release into your emotions, energy in motion, and now you're going to walk like you're afraid. You're going to talk like you're afraid. You're going to think like you're afraid. But when you rise up and you start to think God's word, believe God's word, declare God's word, it releases the life of God on the inside of you. And now you begin to have your shoulders back, your head up high, and you know that you're righteous. You know you're forgiven. You know who you are in Christ Jesus. You know you're designed to win. You know you're designed to be victorious. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. With power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I'm telling you, the devil hates this message, but I like sticking it right up his nose. We have to realize he wants us free. Say, he wants us free. Realize the same anointing that was upon Jesus is the same anointing that's upon us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. You've been anointed by, you hold a sacred appointment from, you've been given an unction from the Holy One, and you all know the truth, and you know all things. Listen to this. But as for you, say me, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction which you receive from Him abides in you permanently. The same anointing that was upon Jesus is the same anointing that is in us. The same anointing that was in and on Jesus is the same anointing that's in and on us. Jesus did not operate as the Son of God. He operated as the Son of Man, a person anointed by the Spirit of God, just like you and I. And how he delivered all who were oppressed of the devil, that same Spirit is in us and on us all. God is saying the spirit of oppression has tried to stop my family for too long, and it's time for it to stop. First, individually, locally, statewide, nationwide, it stops today. But we've got to realize he wants me free. Say it, he wants me free. And that same anointing that removes every burden and destroys every yoke is the same anointing that is in us and on us in this place right now. Not tomorrow. Don't put your deliverance off to tomorrow. Don't put your healing off to tomorrow. Don't put your advancement off to tomorrow. I get free today. Say free today. Listen to this. So he wants me free. The same anointing is in us and on us. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Says, so repent. This is the Amplified Classic. So repent. How do we get free? How do we stay free? Repent. You know, repent is not a cuss word. Repentance is a gift. It's a gift. Re, the prefix re in front of any word, means to bring it back to the original. So repent, when I repent, it means change your mind, change your heart. It means when I repent, I say what God says, sin is sin. And I change my mind and I change my heart. He says, I'm taking you, come back to that place, penthouse, where there's a lot of room, a room for you to grow. So when I live a life, I realize God wants me free. I realize the same Spirit of God is in me and on me. God, I'm changing my mind and changing my heart. I repent for being a pansy. That should be a book. Repent for being a pansy. I repent. I'm saying I'm coming back into this place, and the biggest room I'm making room for is the room for you. And listen to what he says right here. Because of this, your sins will be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. That times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing means to recover breath, revival, restore. Recovery means to regain, retake, or obtain by possession. Revive means to restore to life, regain life, strength, or energy. So he's saying, when I live a life of repentance, I realize he wants me free. Say it, he wants me free. And I realize that that same anointing is in me and on me. And I change my mind and I change my heart. And I just come simply into agreement with God. And I say, God, if I've missed it, I ask you to forgive me. I receive the cleansing power of the blood, 1 John 1:9, and I repent. I come back into this place. And he says, in this place, I'm going to revive you with fresh air. In this place, you're going to recover. You're going to begin to rise up and you're going to obtain and take what has been stolen from you. But it only comes in from the presence of God. So how do I get free and stay free? Say, he wants me free. Repent. I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my heart. And now we hear the word repent, we think sucking our thumb, pulling our ear, and bawling. If you need to do that, you do that. But repentance is a lifestyle. I miss it. I ask for forgiveness. I receive the cleansing of the blood. I get back in the game. I stay in this place that I'm created by God to live from. Repentance, repent. There's room in this place. I'm designed to walk in relationship with God. I'm designed to walk in his strength and energy and life and revival and obtaining and all that God is. Say repent. Submit. The next word, submit, then resist the spirit of oppression. Submit and resist the spirit of oppression. Submit, sub, to come underneath. Mission, it comes from mission, that I'm going to come underneath God's. Now finish strong with me here, okay? You're going to give me your best for the next little bit, right? So we're talking about how do I get free, how do I stay free. When I am submitted to God, I live a resistant lifestyle. James 4:7, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Oppression, is it of God or of the devil? The devil. He says, submit my life to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Resist the spirit of oppression. Resist the spirit of oppression. A submitted life to God is a resistant force upon the earth. When you walk into the room, every devil should squirm because they know you're submitted to Almighty God. Remember the disciples that came back with joy and they said every demon was subject to us. In other words, when I spoke, they heard the mouth of a commander. They didn't see me. They didn't hear me. They heard him and they saw him coming through me. Submit and resist. Bind the spirit of oppression. So we realize he wants us free. We realize the same anointing that's upon Jesus is in and on me. We submit our life to God. We repent. We submit our life to God. We resist the spirit of oppression. We bind the spirit of oppression. Now, until this becomes ingrained in you, to you know who you are, you might have to apply this each and every day to keep your faith into a place where your mind is connected, your heart is connected, your mouth is connected. But we are assigned, we are responsible for every area that we have responsibility in. So you might have to do it in your finances. You might have to do it in your family. You might have to do it in your physical body until this becomes second nature to who we are. And I've got it. This is how I live. Devil, you are defeated, and this is who I am. Are you with me? So we submit to God. We resist the spirit of oppression. We bind the spirit of oppression. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You bind the spirit of oppression. Look at your neighbor and say, bind the spirit of oppression. Listen to this in the Amplified. It says, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm kind of hurrying for time's sake here. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, listen, it's declared to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. Now, when you back that up and he says that you're Peter and on this rock I will build my church. Church is not a religious word. Church is a governmental word. And at this time, the ruler, whoever that was at that time, would call out. The church is the word ecclesia. It's a governmental word. It's meaning that the emperor would pick and select certain people to come out of everybody else and come near to here. They were like the Senate. They were like the cabinet. And he would call them and they would come in. And at this place, the emperor, the ruler, he would reveal their heart to the called out ones. And then they, once they got his heart and once they got his mind, then they would leave his presence and they would go out, and what he said became law. And what Jesus is saying, listen, the gates of hell is not going to prevail, not against this building. He says, it's not going to prevail against the ones who have heard the call, listened to the call. I've called them out. They've come near to hear, and they're hearing my heart. They're hearing my mind. They're hearing my word. They've found out what is right in heaven. And if it's not right in heaven, they're not going to stand for it being on earth. So when you bind the spirit of oppression, you're saying it is unlawful and it is illegal and it is improper for you to shut me down, devil. It is improper, it is illegal, it is unlawful for you to continue to attack my physical body. It is unlawful, it is improper, it is illegal for you to continue to hold back my church, to hold back the ministry, to hold back the business. Are you with me? So when you say whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, you spend enough time with the king to know his heart and how he operates, and you're just coming down here to execute what he shared with you. Bind the spirit of oppression. Bind the spirit of oppression. Say it. Mark chapter 16, we're going to be done here. Verse 15 through 20. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. Listen to this. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with accompanying signs. He is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he is the same forever. And we have preached the word this morning. You have heard the word that God wants you free. Say it, he wants me free. You have heard the word that the anointing of God, the same anointing that was on Jesus himself, is in us and on us, and he wants us to live in that anointing. You have heard the word that you have power and authority to trample over snakes, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us or harm us. So when I was talking about finances, when I was talking about your family, when I was talking about your calling, when I was talking about your business and the spirit of oppression, it's just like a light went off on you on the inside. Okay, that's what that is. That's why I've had this issue. That's what it is. If that nailed you in some form or fashion, I want you to stand to your feet. The spirit of oppression in any form and fashion, family, finances, physical body, relationship, marriages, kids. It stops today. You hear me, family? And the Lord is present to confirm the word preached. It stops today. Say it, it stops today. Now, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, anybody at the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I want heads bowed and eyes closed, and everybody that can hear the sound of my voice, I want us to think, I want us to go inward just quickly. When you go inward, does every person in this place, are you confident that if you were to die today, you would spend eternity with Almighty God? In other words, at some point in time in your life, you called upon the name of Jesus. At some point in time in your life, you knew that you went from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. At some point in your life, you were no longer doing it because your friends and family did it. You're doing it because you wanted to know God Almighty yourself. You yourself called upon the name of Jesus. Do you have that assurance? Can you recall that moment that you've done that? If you don't have that assurance, if you can't recall the time that you've done that, would you make right now that time? You say, how? How can I make right now that time? Very simple. The Bible says when a person believes in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and declares with their mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. He says at that time, that person receives eternal life. And at that time, that person comes from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And at that time, the life of God enters your inner being and you know, you don't guess, you don't wish, you don't hope, you know that you have eternal life. So this is what I'd like us to do, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'd like us all to pray this very simple prayer together, out loud. Why do I have us do it out loud? Because I want the people who are doing this for the first time, I want them to do it with confidence as they pray this prayer, believing in their heart, declaring with their mouth. I want them to know that we're with them. I want them to know that we're for them. Another reason I do it is because I want you to be familiar with the heartbeat of this prayer so you can pray with your friends and your family. So if you're wanting to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior for the very first time, as we pray this prayer together, I want you to believe these words with your heart and declare these words with your mouth like your eternal destiny depends upon it, because it does. Can we pray this prayer together, church, out loud, all of us? Can we just say, Father God, today is the day that I make a decision to believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead to give me life. And right now, I accept that life. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. And according to God's word, I'm now saved, forgiven, born again, and I can be assured that I'll spend eternity with Almighty God.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.